Diary. Last night in a meeting. May 1900. Last night in a meeting, matters were presented to me which have taxed my strength and taken my courage. I am weak and astonished. The Spirit of the Lord is grieved, and I am given a message to bear to you. The Lord is looking upon every movement you make. You stand in a position where, unless you are guarded, you can and will be worked in a way that will bring harm instead of blessing to the cause of God. 1 year ago, you caught a glimpse of yourself. This was in accordance with God's purpose. He desired you to make an entire change in your course of action. But you have set aside the testimony as untrue. Christ said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 3, verse 3. This is the experience you need to gain. You have had warnings. You have had the counsel of God. But you have put your own construction upon these testimonies, and of late you have made the testimonies of the Spirit of God of none effect by your traditions. Notwithstanding the view given you by the Lord concerning yourself, you have refused to be instructed by His Word. To you, the counsel of God has been as an idle tale. It is not the message of Sister White which you have warped and misconstrued, mingling common and sacred fire, but the messages of God. These messages have been coming to you for years and have saved you from making great mistakes, but now, because they do not endorse the way in which you have carried the work, you refuse their instruction. The Lord does not endorse any such transactions as have been carried out in this meeting. He hates robbery and unjust dealing. As surely as this work has been done by those who know not God or Jesus Christ, so surely will the Lord punish because of it. Take back that work. Take it back. Other work similar to this has been done. Take it all back. For your soul's sake, take it back. God will not permit such transactions to be woven into the work as a representation of Him. These transactions will be brought to naught. God's hand will be stretched out to bring low all the pride and self-exaltation of man. He is prepared to come out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the world for their iniquity. Then the earth shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. It is by drawing threads of selfishness into the web that the figure is spoiled. Such a web the Lord will not accept. He discards everything which bears the devices and conceptions of those who work contrary to His commandments. Every school organized among us should labor to bring in principles untainted by selfishness and to reveal pure, noble, sanctified work which will bear the test of trial. The Old Testament scriptures are not acted upon because they are not carefully and prayerfully studied. From the pillar of cloud, our Redeemer gave directions to Moses to be given to the people, and these principles should be followed now as strictly as in the day when the divine, invisible leader gave them to Israel. It is because those in our institutions have not heeded these principles that prosperity has not attended the work. God's people have not given to the world the representation He designed them to give. Heavenly angels have not been able to work in union with those who have stood in responsible places. No one will enter the mansion above who does not bring into his business dealing the principles God has given, principles which are light and life and holiness. God is deferring the bringing of His judgment upon the earth in order that those who are supposed to be His people, but who have been bringing in the very things He has condemned, working according to methods He will not accept, may get ready to meet Him in peace. Those who have been selfish, covetous principles, and taking credit to themselves for their sharpness, will never see the kingdom of God, unless they are decidedly changed in character. For selfishness is an abomination in the sight of the Lord, and is a dishonor to Christ, their Creator and Redeemer, whose name they claim. God says, I will thoroughly purge my floor of all chaff. I will sift my people as in a sieve. Those who name my name must be thoroughly cleansed from all false and corrupting principles. Those whom I claim as my heritage will even now be wondered at as a peculiar people, cleansed from all fraud, all injustice. Those who enter the city of God will here have worked righteousness, revealing to the world the principles of heaven. The spirit of levity, of mockery, of sarcasm brought into this meeting has hurt Christ and made him ashamed to call those manifesting it his brethren. Those who here continue to reveal such a spirit can never enter heaven. One turned to Kellogg, saying, I gave you talents of ability. I gave you honor, not for your sake, but for the glory of my name. But you have lifted up your soul unto vanity, and have put forth the finger to oppress. Will I not judge for these things? God has permitted this action to be revealed, as one of many similar actions which have been done, but not in such a distinct, pronounced manner. God has not given to his people the work of showing the greatest sympathy for the wicked, closing their hearts and minds to mercy, justice, and the love of God. I have many things to say, things which have been presented to me, but I cannot say them now, for my strength is small, and such things as this wrench my soul as though it were in the agonies of death. I have light that I must give, which was presented to me on another occasion. Because the ministers did not take up the line of work in which Dr. Kellogg was engaged, he has spoken of them in a criticizing, condemnatory manner. But God did not give Dr. Kellogg this line of work. Neither has his spirit led him to conduct it as it has been conducted. Words have been spoken on public occasions against the Lord's delegated ministers. The influence of these ministers has not always been perfect. Because of the difficulties created through the various phases of the so-called medical missionary work, they have not known how to manage matters. This work has brought upon the cause of God burdens which never should have existed. God pities his people who are trying to carry on the work in its different lines, while the medical missionary work is conducted in the way in which it is. They cannot bind up with it, for God does not intend that they should. A work has been carried forward which has consumed much means. There are fields which have long waited to be worked, and in some places God's servants have lost their lives by overexertion in endeavoring to start the work with insufficient facilities. Their prayers, their tears, their perplexity, their physical and mental suffering have come up before God. Is he glorified by the way in which his money has been appropriated? No, no! Could the curtain be rolled back and the results be seen which have come as a consequence of the money expended contrary to God's order, while fields all ready for the harvest were ignored? Changes of such a decided character would be made that God would accept the reformation. Such a reformation will have to come before some are brought to their senses. They act like blind men who cannot study from cause to effect. The Lord has given instruction that medical missionary organizations are never to become an oppressive power, but a helping hand to the gospel. The Lord makes not man his teacher. As God, he is to educate and direct man. Christ is the true teacher, the true leader. We must follow in his footsteps and listen to his words. He who has the fullest knowledge of Jesus Christ will have the most complete acquaintance with human and divine character. Christ can give men knowledge of how to treat their fellow men under all circumstances. Under his discipline and through the impartation of his grace, we can become complete in him. He will reward every man according to his works. We are not called upon to render obedience to man, but to God's word, which is to be received into the soul, as verily as the food we eat is received into the physical system. Then we shall be doers of the word, not hearers only. Those who have influence over their fellow men are never to feel that they are to rule, to exercise authority. All ye are brethren. Matthew 23, verse 8. Our churches and our institutions are not to be conducted according to the ideas and plans of men, but according to the directions and principles God has given in His Word. The characters of God's people are to be formed after the divine similitude, in accordance with the example left us in the life of Christ. The direction given Moses to give to the children of Israel was that all things were to be made according to the pattern shown them in the Mount. Study closely the directions given by Christ to Moses to give to the people. Compare the teachings of Christ in the New Testament with the instructions given by Him in the Old Testament in regard to the two great principles of the law: supreme love to God and unselfish love for our neighbor. Upon these two great arms hang all the law and the prophets.
The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. When ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19, verse 1, 2, 9, 10, 15-18. Remember that Christ our Savior, the one who at the fall took the position of Redeemer of the fallen race, is the speaker of these words. Those who love God supremely will love their fellow men as themselves, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. And Christ says to us, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 13, verse 34-35. Christ's love for His people is as unchanging as His character. The new commandment which He gave His disciples was in every sense new in its application to their practice as Christians. As yet, they did not seem to understand the wonderful love shown for them. But after the resurrection, they were better able to measure the love which led Christ to suffer and die for them and for all the world. As the Holy Spirit came to them, bringing to their remembrance all things which He had spoken unto them, they were better able to understand the instruction He had given them. Unless men are purified from selfishness and love of the world, they will, like Judas, prove false to their master. We prove the sincerity of our discipleship by following in word and deed the example of Christ, by practicing His lessons, by revealing His humility, His condescension, His love for human beings. The manifestation of Christ-like love will bind our hearts up with the Savior.
Those who love one another as he has loved them have his mind. They believe his words and show their faith by their works. Self is dethroned. Christ is made first and last and best in everything. They reveal their trust in him by bearing witness to all with whom they come in contact that they have taken his yoke upon them and have brought the will into subjection to his will. They represent him by obeying his commandments. They refuse to be led by Satan into the broad path of disobedience. The life they now live, they live by faith in the Son of God. Keeping the commandments, they experience the blessedness of learning daily the meekness and lowliness of Christ. They are partakers with him of the love which he expressed for the human race. No selfish pride or ambitious projects, well clothed with Satan's specious artifice, draw them into the path of transgression. Christ died to save the world, and as they take his yoke upon them, they love one another as Christ has loved them. By their actions, they show that their love is genuine. The love that brethren in the faith are to show for one another has been revealed by Christ. Those who have this love will work in union with Christ and with one another. The Savior is deeply grieved when his followers fail of being a help to one another, when they are suspicious, jealous, fault-finding, and unsympathetic. They make themselves channels through which Satan pours his spirit. By their perversity, their wrong influence, they hurt the souls for whom Christ has died. In the place of being a help, a strength, a comfort, examples of true godliness, they are stumbling blocks. They bring reproach upon the truth and crucify afresh him who is the light and life of the world. They fail of revealing the Christ-likeness by unselfish dealing, truthfulness, and courtesy. The greatest evidence a man can give of true conversion is love for his brethren. He who is truly converted will not draw apart from his brethren in the faith, but will love them, and will show his love for them by unselfish, benevolent actions. If he happens to be placed where he has the advantage, he will not oppress or intimidate in word or deed. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Wonderful statement, but oh, how poorly practiced.